Warning: the boys have little experience in research and no experience in comedy. While we hope you learned something from today's episode, the cases presented are not meant to be the full story. Sources are included in the episode description because God knows the boys did a terrible job of explaining it.
All right, welcome back to Boys on the Case, the investigative comedy podcast.
It's appropriate to give pause.
Yeah. For suspense.
I'm saying it's appropriate to hesitate at the comedy part.
I'm your boy, Deputy Karaoke.
What am I? I'm Detective.
Detective.
Detective John.
Yeah.
That's right.
And Lawman John. I need to workshop that now, because Lawman, that I feel like I'm one, like, missed syllable away from being Lawn Man Johnson, and I don't do well with outside work.
Well, see, now you're saying Lawman Johnson, but you need to say Lawman Johnson.
Is it Lawn Man in the new Suicide Squad?
Is he?
It's hard to tell. It sounds about it. Yeah.
What's your power?
That sounds very James Gunn.
It does. That movie's not out yet, but I expect half of those people to die very quickly.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. I mean, isn't that the point of the suicide? Anyway. Sorry.
It's like an X-Force thing from like the second Deadpool movie.
Yes. Yeah. It seems like that's what it's setting up to. Yeah. Hey, guys, I have exciting news.
What's up?
This episode is actually sponsored.
A word.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to give you all some hints to guess who it is. Fast food franchise. Okay. Has a female mascot.
Oh.
Wendy's?
It's like one, yeah.
Yeah, Wendy's nuts go in your mouth.
Come on. I was
fucking
over here.
Destroyed. Obliterated.
Y'all have a great week.
Okay,
I'll be
so
there.
I didn't,
get fucked.
I didn't know that was going to happen, but I knew, like, I should not say the answer because something bad will happen.
Oh, I'll let Dayson take the fall.
We are
survival
not,
of the fittest, Dayson.
Boo.
We are not sponsored by Wendy's. I just wanted to get someone with that. I'm going down the list because I got Basir with the tragedy of Bofides.
Okay, well, I can see the Bofides coming.
Well, Basir did not. Basir did not at all.
Oh, man.
two down.
Boo.
Now, Lucy's going to be really hard because...
You say it around her all the time.
Because she knows my shit.
Yeah.
So, like, that's going to be my white whale.
I need one.
Anyways, welcome to Boys on the Case.
You already said that.
Yeah, but I got to go over the premise.
You were literally about to say the same thing we said at the beginning of the
episode. Okay, well, this is Boys on the Case. We're going to answer questions from you, the listener, to the best of our ability. This week, it's John's turn as lead investigator.
Yes. And I don't think Dayson knows this. We're doing one case an episode now.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm doing the whole case, which means you don't have to be the
like
judge at the end. Yeah, you can just sit back and enjoy, unless it's one of Jeremy's weeks. You know what I mean?
we'll just break them down. Pick them apart.
It's also a very special episode because we're answering our first voice question.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah, sent in by Isaiah.
This one came. Isaiah M.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and play that now.
Hey boys, my name is Isaiah. Jeremy may know me from playing a semester of saxophone with him, but that's besides the point.
I do know him, yeah.
In the FGC, the fighting game community, we have been having this talk with a few games coming out, you know, Street Fighter V, Dragon Ball FighterZ, and Guilty Gear Strive recently. Is it better for fighting game companies to make their games simpler to reach out to other audiences, or would it be better if they gave them the proper tutorial to teach them how to use the complex systems in their fighting games? Let me know what you guys think, your experiences, because I don't know how much you've experienced. I assume you're newer to fighting games than a lot of people I know. Thank you for listening to my audio or putting it on the show if that's the case. And yeah.
All right, so first of all, fucking rude.
The case.
He said the word.
I'm such a big fight head. That's what they call it in the community.
Is it?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, well, maybe if you haven't heard of it, then ask yourself, am I really a part of the fighting game community? I've never heard this word before. I fight in video games so much, I fight in real life.
Oh.
I just can't get enough.
Oh.
Yeah.
I could have agreed. I could have seen that one coming, to be honest. Yeah.
My first words were, catch these hands.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
I'm
God.
Always, no, Jeremy. Fuck me.
His dad was best friends with Kimbo Slice.
Oh, no.
Yeah, dude, Muhammad Ali was my godfather.
I knew him back when he was Cassius.
Yeah, and I also, let me know if this joke can stay in. I met Chris Brown once. So oh. You could say that I know a thing or two. That's not that joke. That joke is not about men's violence against women. That joke is against people who still think they can get away with listening to Chris Brown.
Fair points.
Because I've seen some stats that say that's a lot of y'all.
Yeah. And now DaBaby. Oh no.
My favorite thing about the DaBaby thing is that T.I. was like, I should get in there and do some further damage.
All of the wrong people came to defend DaBaby.
Okay, so for anyone who doesn't know, DaBaby went on a weird AIDS rant at
Unprompted.
About 40 years too late. And then he doubled down on it, and T.I., the man famous for, at this point,
Ant-Man films.
Well, no, at this point, for going to the gynecologist with his daughter to make sure her hymen was still intact. Yeah, great. He came out and basically was like, well, if Lil Nas X can do what he does, then DaBaby should be able to do what he does. And it's like, what a weird comparison.
Yeah.
If Lil Nas X is allowed to be gay, then DaBaby should be allowed to be homophobic.
Perfect. We've solved the crisis.
Balance.
Yeah, perfectly balanced. All right, so sorry, Isaiah. So Isaiah threw me with a fucking curveball, and that is that everything he said was incredibly subjective. In particular, he used the word "better," which could mean almost anything. And we haven't had a definition in a minute.
Okay.
Okay, Dason made a face at that.
Well, I was going to say, like, are we going to define "better" by some kind of operant level of like? Definitions, or are we going to just argue what's better?
So, well, here's the thing. You can, even if you define it, you still won't agree on what better is. That's right. Even if we agree on what the meaning is. So here's a definition for it, of superior quality.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's even vaguer.
Yeah. It's even more subjective.
Yeah, exactly. So we're gonna look at games and see if they are superior to other games and kind of relate that to complexity, because that seems to be the question at the heart of this, right? Is like, should games be easier to invite people in, or more complex and teach you how to play the complex things, right? So we're gonna explain how we're gonna gauge that in a little bit.
Okay,
because I came up with something I think that does it. So for anyone who's unfamiliar fighting games, it's a genre of video games. It's one of those weird things. I almost didn't define it because I'm like, either you know what it is and you care, or you don't, and you don't care.
That's fair,
but
though.
It's a genre of video games that got its start very early on in arcades. It starts with, or features two or more characters competing in a combat in an arena with fixed boundaries. They wildly vary to the point that some of them don't even look recognizable in the same genre, but generally they have a pool of playable characters with their own special moves, backstory, visual styles, so on. Very common examples are Smash Brothers, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, Tekken. The first fighting game was actually a Sega arcade game called Heavyweight Champ, which came out in Japan in 1976.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Early as fuck.
Yeah.
I don't even know if arcades were here, really.
I don't think so.
Not in force.
Maybe like the 80s.
Yeah, definitely the 80s.
Yeah, well, that was like its heyday here. Mm. And I don't know when arcades got here, but that's early in video game history. Mm-hmm. It is unfortunately now considered a lost game. There's no original versions of it around. And that's a huge bummer to me.
That's okay. So I never knew about like video game historians or archivists that like go and hunt down like rare video games. And I thought that was like a cool hobby that was like okay.
Yeah.
But it's actually like really important shit because
just
gets like lost in history.
Yeah, we talked a lot about that when we talked about the one about who invented the first video game.
Yeah.
I don't remember which episode that was. But there's a lot of games that you can find emulators for online,
right.
But some of which you cannot anymore. It's I don't know, it's just sad.
It is,
right?
Yeah.
It's like media that's just
gone.
Yeah, exactly. So the genre is competitive kind of from the ground up, and I think Isaiah touches on that with the fighting game community. It's you fighting another person, even if it's a machine you're fighting. There is not cooperative. If it's co-op, it's we're gonna beat that shit out of that guy together.
There's violence involved.
Yes. It's also typically viewed as a complex or complicated genre. There's a lot of games like, let's say, Animal Crossing, where even hardcore Animal Crossing just means you spend a lot of time at it.
Right.
There's not like complicated Animal Crossing stuff.
Competitive like, Animal Crossing.
I don't know what that would look like, except a being, I don't know, capitalism? I don't know what that would be.
Making capitalism harder.
Yeah, like becoming an actual landlord, I guess. So the next part is going to be some conjuncture in this.
Uh-oh.
There's a difference between making the game happen, like mashing the buttons, and then actually knowing what you're doing and playing the game, like intentionally doing stuff. To someone who's unfamiliar with this, that might sound really weird, but it's true. It's one of the few genres that you can press the buttons wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
So wrong that you die, right? So,
as a child, me and my cousins, we'd play Dragon Ball Z Budokai, like the first one, like on GameCube. And I remember I'd play it like 24/7 trying to get really good at it. So when my cousins came over, like I'd whoop everybody. But then my little cousin, who was like 4 years younger than me, would just button mash and he would win. And it would upset the shit out of me. I just didn't understand why it was possible that you could do that.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get more into that later because Isaiah wanted our personal thoughts on some of this. Mm-hmm. So I have a section for that towards the end.
Gotcha.
Okay, good. Because I didn't want to like spiel on anything. And,
no,
like,
thank
overly...
you, Jason. That was the correct impulse. Wish all of us could have it.
Hey.
Now, I was not trying
Some instincts are just fucked, you know? Right in the jeans.
Oh my God.
He's wearing shorts.
We were talking about that earlier because I saw this video today of an uncoordinated dog and I was showing it to Jeremy and I was like, I just fucking love dogs that are just bad. Like the dog couldn't jump down for stuff or he'd flop. Someone tried to pour whipped cream in his mouth and it like
basically went into his ear.
Went to his ear and then he opened his mouth like just to,
it's goofy.
So fucking funny, man. So like I said, we'll get to that later. But I have played extremely casually and I've played real sweaty. And there is a ocean between those two experiences.
It is
wildly different. So for figuring out if complexity is better, we're going to examine three main factors to a game. And that is audience reception, critical reception, and the sales numbers.
Okay.
Of different games. So I thought about basing it more on like what are professional or dedicated players saying. It's like better, but to me the idea of better is very broad and I feel like you need to include people who have no idea what the fuck they're doing.
Okay.
Right. Because that's also kind of what the question touches on. I will not be getting into numbers on all these factors because sometimes things like sales are not made available or easily found.
Right.
And particularly for the more niche games, right? Like you can find any sales numbers on any Tekken or Street Fighter game. Mm-hmm. But when you get into like the was a weird one, like the fucking Fate Stay Night fighting game. Mm-hmm. Like outside of the first week, there's like not much on like the sales numbers for that. And some more boring stuff, but just for research transparency, I tried to stick to the versions of the game that have the most reviews because sometimes these games will come out on like every console and they're different between them.
Right,
sometimes
right.
It just don't run too good on one. I stuck to the ones with the most reviews because I figured that would give me the most comprehensive idea of like how it is, right? Because some of these would be like the PS4 version of like 80 reviews from like critical like actual journalistic outlets and then like the Switch one would have 3,
right?
It's like, well, there's a big difference there.
All I can think of is somebody trying to rate Skyrim on all of its platforms.
Oh my God. Jesus, that guy probably works for fucking Bethesda. But I want to note this because different versions have different receptions, but when companies project sales, it is usually across every system.
Okay.
So remember that.
Right.
My hope is also not to get hyper-specific, but to help build like a bigger picture for this. It's so weird because I don't feel like I can be super specific on it because I'm not an authority. And even people who are authorities, people disagree with them. So,
well, then just be an authority.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
And as I'm going to bring up a lot, it's very subjective, you know, so shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Gamers, chill out this episode.
Well,
it's going to be hard.
That'd be a first.
We got some minorities over here with different opinions.
Capital G gamers. Capital G gamers, like anime profile pics, making arguments in favor of, like, eugenics and all that shit.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The kind of people, like, I'm not racist, but
yeah. The kind of people is like, they'll understand me in Japan.
I went to Japan with some of those people, and trust me, they stare at you too. You are not safe.
Oh, Jesus. Take a shower. Christ. It's fucking... Yeah, like, I don't understand what that, like, a culture that has, I have no foothold in, is going to be better for me.
You speak the language? No.
Dude, you could be fucking crushing it here and go to Japan and get fucking destroyed because you don't know what the fuck you're doing. You're supposed to slurp noodles there. That could be not more different from America.
Oh, my noodles not good enough for you? Huh, bitch? Punk bitch?
I'm so scared. I've always wanted to go to, like, Japan, but I'm so scared of that because I'm... Food eating noises get me for some reason. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I'm a hyper aware of mine. And I'm so scared that I would just fall into that and offend somebody. And there's no good way to say, I'm just, like, stupid and not from here. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no.
This food's great. Trust me. I'm from America. This shit's bad there. Okay, so for complexity, I'm referencing a list made by the Reddit user, u/Sephirius. I believe it's pronounced.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
call him Seffy.
Seffy.
They made a list of fighting games scaled by difficulties. There's going to be a picture in the description if you want to go look at that.
Okay.
Basically, a gradient, which we'll get into in a second. They made several updates to this list based on user feedback. So I'm using version 6. So this isn't just like
pee pee poo poo shit.
Exactly. Like, yeah. They actually, this has been edited and altered and all that stuff. And Seffy does make some notes on this list that I think are important that we also bring up here. This is based on execution difficulty, meaning, like, the movement and button inputs.
Okay.
Not thinking of things like strategies. Mm. So this is pure, like, how hard is it to put the buttons in a good way?
Okay.
And I know, don't at me, I know fighting games have a lot. There's a lot. But that's the one thing they all share.
Okay.
Because obviously the strategy is going to be different from all these things, mm-hmm. right? Execution difficulty is based on the average speed, input complexity, and input rate. Hmm. So how fast the game goes, how, like, complicated actually putting the buttons is, you know, like half circles. And,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah. Terry.
There's somebody somewhere who heard you use Terry from Smash as an example of a hard fighting character and probably made fun of you. So be ready for that. Input rate being the actual speed at which you have to put in this different stuff. So think of that. Okay. And importantly, they note, as I noted, this is an estimate.
This is not concrete.
Some games are easier for people and some games are harder for people. For example, there's on this list, they list Skullgirls, which is pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
As kind of like moderate to hard. And I saw I read a thing today where Sonic Fox, who's at the time of writing, was like a 4-time Evo champion, which is like the fighting game tournament.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, Skullgirls is hard as shit. So yeah, that doesn't show how subjective this is. So the list goes from easy to moderate to hard to insane. And the way I did this is I took 3 games from the insane list and 5 from games from each other category. The reason being there's not many games on the insane end of the spectrum.
Gotcha.
As you can imagine. So I tried to mostly stick to well-known franchises to give people, like, a touchstone, but I also kind of picked stuff randomly, too, to try to keep it pretty balanced. And I don't know if y'all want to hear this, but I have the list of the games that I looked at from easiest to hardest.
I would love to, because I got a few in mind, and if they're on there, then...
I don't know if this is going to sound like word spaghetti, but...
we'll sit on each one.
There's 18. y'all just stop me if you hear one.
Okay.
How about that? Okay. That you want to talk about. So, from, like I said, easiest to hardest of the ones I chose.
Of the ones.
Okay.
Rough estimate.
Please don't send that through.
Please be nice to me.
5 asterisks.
I say I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm nervous. So, Dive Kick, Fantasy Strike, Naruto Storm 4, Samurai Showdown. Shut the fuck up. It's a subjective list.
Okay. Continue.
Also, easy doesn't mean bad.
This is true, but I was, when you said Naruto Storm 4, I was originally like that's not easy, but I thought about it. I was like, no, I'm not that great at it, but all my friends think I'm really good at it.
Yeah.
So
your friends are just bad.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, friends.
Dive kick is fun. I mean,
Dive Kick is fun.
Never heard of it.
So it has two moves, dive and kick.
Really?
Yeah. It has been criticized for some not great depictions of various cultures.
Oh, right.
It came out in, like, 2012, which some could say was long ago, but also very recent.
Yeah.
So it doesn't age well. Samurai Showdown, Smash Brothers Ultimate, Soul Calibur 6, Dead or Alive 6, Mortal Kombat 11, Street Fighter 5, Dragon Ball Fighters, which is a stupid ass name. Cause
that's with a Z.
It's with a Z.
Yeah.
Dumb as fuck.
What? From this Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, wow. That's funny. Virtua Fighter 5. Skullgirls, Street Fighter 4, Tekken 7, Marvel vs. Capcom 3, Smash Brothers Melee, Fate / Ultimate Codes, and Guilty Gear Zerd. It's XRD. Man, the Japanese are nuts. You slurp the noodles, you say this, the whole country's an island. An archipelago, I'm told.
Okay.
So those are what I looked at.
Okay.
These are the games, and these are from Seffy's list. And I plotted these on a graph based on their aggregate critical score and their user scores from Metacritic. Metacritic is very controversial.
It can be, yes.
It can be very controversial, yeah. But it's the only website that exists that compiles reviews. And I wasn't going to go look up multiple reviews for all 18 games. So, and for anyone who might not know why controversial.
Mm-hmm.
For one, recently, a lot of like bonuses that's in like contracts for developers will be based on you have to achieve this degree of Metacritic score, which is really shitty in an industry that already asks for way too much from its employees. And also, there's just been a lot of criticism as the way Metacritic actually like compiles information. I don't know the specifics of that.
Mm-hmm.
But some people think that if you listen to Metacritic, you're wrong. But I mean, it's a review thing.
Classic gamer fashion.
Sure. So I put these on a graph. It's actually right over there. You can see it on that whiteboard I drew.
Oh, hey.
Wow.
Because I couldn't, I had to look at it visually. Yeah, yeah. Because by the time I got to like 10 games, I was like, what I thought was really interesting is that most games fall into like the same bubble on the graph.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of did it where I had like the X and Y coordinate, one being critical score, one being user score, and I put it like I could make a mark where it would be, and most of the marks fall into like the same exact cluster, with very little variance actually, which I did not expect. There are some outliers. We're gonna get there in a little bit. So most critical scores range from low 70s to mid to high 80s. Nothing really goes above or beyond, like above that or below that, particularly right. Below that. I don't know if anything reached a critical score lower than 70.
Really?
If it did, it was like 68.
There's like no like absolute garbage fighting
not
games
for the critical
on the
ones.
List.
Not on the list and not for the critical ones.
Okay.
There's probably some bias here because if the game is just shit, you're probably not putting it on your list of complex games because no one cares to play it.
Gotcha.
Right? Okay. There are some stuff that didn't do as hot, and we'll get into that in a minute here. And then I split the data up into the brackets of easy, moderate, hard, insane. I also marked where, because it's a gradient, I marked like where it is on the list. So like E1 is like the easiest, and like E5 is like the hardest of the easiest ones I looked at. That was Smash Ultimate, by the way. It's like the hardest easy one.
Okay.
According to the list, which
yeah,
very much. And I have good news. Jeremy, I need you to cue the music because we're back in the anime math zone.
Oh my god, I missed the anime math zone. Mm-hmm.
Dayson wasn't here for the anime math
zone
last time. It was when I used math to grade which Hololive girl was the best. We were talking about VTubers. It's still Callie, if anyone's wondering. If anyone's fucking wondering, I have just now fixed my YouTube recommended, by the way.
Oh my god.
It's been like half a year, and it's just now getting good again.
Oh no.
Your poor algorithm.
A month ago, I was getting shit recommended to me. We technically never formally left it.
We never did, actually.
We're just re-acknowledging it, which is what gives the Anime Math Zone its power. Stacey, you're laughing now. Wait to hear the theme. It's great.
Oh my god. Adam's dig back for it.
I'm worried.
It's fine. So, so I took, what I did was I found the averages for each bracket on their aggregated critical scores, their user review scores, and their sales.
Alrighty.
The last of which we have to take with a grain of salt because, like I said, they're not always telling you, like, not always have sales available. Like, I couldn't find anything on Divekick. But I adjusted it. For what you call it. digest it so the math, I think, works, I hope.
Nobody's going to check you.
I have a bachelor's in science.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah. This is the first time I've done math, having a bachelor.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Yeah, we're good. So the average score is critical, is aggregated critical scores. So this is like the culmination of all the actual media outlets' reviews of these games. So the average for the easy bracket was 80.2. The average for moderate was 80.4. The average for hard was 84. And the average for insane was 82.7. So even there, it's very close, right? Sure. All the hard definitely pulls out in front. For the user reviews, easy is 8.1. That's the other weird thing about Metacritic. The review scores are in tens.
Yeah.
And the, the users in like 1.1s.
That's weird.
So the user review score might be 8.7 and the critical score might be 70.
Right.
So it's really weird. The average easy is 8.1. The average of moderate is 6.3. The average of hard is 7.1. And the average of insane is 8.3. Hmm. So that one actually scored the best. Not by much, though. Second or easy almost got it. And then for the sales, and like I said, we have to take this grain of salt because sometimes they aren't available. Also, sometimes they only report the opening numbers. They'll be like, yeah, we hit in the first week, we sold 50,000. And then be fucking done. And that's all they tell you.
Right.
So I assume they sold more.
They stopped counting.
But they just stopped counting. Yeah. The average for sales for Easy was 9,563,000.
Wow.
The average for moderate is 5,440,000. The average for hard is 485,000. The average for insane was 3,560,000.
It seems like people just like pain.
Well, okay, so here's what's actually interesting about that. Okay. That one is incredibly skewed by Smash Brothers Melee being considered insane on this list.
Oh, you know, that's true.
Because that one, I think the next one sold about 50,000. So it's hugely skewed by that one. That one sold like, I think 7,900,000? No, 7,090,000 or something like that. Sold a shit ton, especially for the time.
Right.
So that skewed that one a lot. And so then I took each category and I awarded points to the bracket based on their position compared to others. So like hard has a higher average critical score than easy, so it gets more points. And then I just compiled all those points. And what I found is easy and insane are tied for first, and then it's hard, and then it's moderate.
Gotcha.
So I don't know if anyone has any thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, I guess going back to the original idea, like creating a fighting game that has like an open enough floor for people to feel like they're welcome enough to like come in and try it. But then there's always going to be like that hardcore community on the inside. So I guess that's kind of like the dichotomy of the, I guess, fighter gamer community. And
That's what I was thinking too, right? You probably have a lot of people who are like really into the hard stuff and a lot of people who are in the rest, right?
Right.
It makes sense to me that moderates last because like, who's that for? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you want something easy, it's too hard. If you want something hard, it's not hard enough. So, it's in a weird spot.
I always, like, think about how, like, competitive play versus leisure play factors into this.
Yeah.
Because, like, with Smash Brothers Ultimate or Melee, like, those are fun leisure games. But when you play it competitive, it changes the entire, like enjoyment of it. Or really just, like, the how you approach it.
That's why I went for this list that rated it by complexity, because that's the baseline, right? Gotcha. Then you play Smash Brothers Melee casually, that's a harder experience than casually playing Ultimate
yeah,
which is a much more simplistic game. So that's, I think that's get cuts to that.
That makes sense.
One of the issues with this research is the reception can be dictated by factors that have literally nothing to do with the game.
Okay.
Like the gameplay.
Yeah.
Great example is Mortal Kombat 11 has a really high critical reception and has sold 12 million units and has a terrible fucking audience reception because they don't like the microtransactions in the game.
Right.
People find it to be way too pervasive, way too much stuff that you feel incentivized to buy, a lot of like pushing on that. So all in all, a phenomenal game, right? From like a gameplay perspective, and like it sold really well and people are mad at it. Yep. So now it's low on the score. It was like, I think the second lowest on the scale.
Wow.
Which is so like, that's the other thing too, is there's so much other stuff outside of, is this game hard, is this game easy, that affects the way you feel about it.
Okay.
I talk about that, some of that too. And now some outliers, super quick. So like I said, or the Mortal Kombat one, Dead or Alive 6 is the worst reviewed game on the list. It does very average across basically everything. And one of the games sold so much, just that one game, that I think it sold more combined than every other game in its bracket.
Damn.
Yeah.
For Dead or Alive?
No, the game I'm talking about sold more in its bracket than any other game there. And I'll tell you what it is after the break.
If you have a great question for the show, you can send it to us at boysonthecase@gmail.com.
An ending to an episode of a serial drama that leaves the audience in suspense.
John, I know what a cliffhanger is.
Okay,
again.
I mean, we talked about it last week, and
you don't have to do this every week.
I've done it twice. It's not every week.
It's every week for the past 2 weeks.
Okay. So the answer is Smash Brothers Ultimate, which sold 22,850,000 units, which is fucking nuts, because I think the next thing on the list is like 12 million.
Wow.
It is the best-selling fighting game ever, and it's the fastest-selling Nintendo title ever.
Yep.
And it pushed the Smash Brothers franchise over 50 million units sold.
It's like people bought two copies.
It's that's nuts, though.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's fucking bonkers. What do you mean, copies?
Honestly, I bought a Switch just to play Smash.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted a Switch, but I didn't think it was worth it. And then they announced Smash was coming out with it. And I was just like, well, shit.
I think it's, and this might be upsetting because Melee is like the darling.
Mm-hmm.
I think it scored better on the list. I think Ultimate is the highest reviewed between user and
I'm not surprised.
I mean, considering it's ultimately the most recent thing, it's always going to get the most buzz.
Well,
like,
it's also done bonker shit with like how many fighters it has in it, how many stages it has in it. And I would say, it's done. You make a lot of arguments about like competitive. I know Smash in competitive is very tumultuous because Nintendo seems to not want it to be a competitive game at all. Because Sakurai made a little girl sad once.
Oh no,
it's not even a joke. But we'll talk about that in a second. But I think it does the best job of merging like being casual and being pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
Because the Smash Brothers games usually swing back and forth at like a pendulum.
Right.
So the story is Sakurai, the game director for Smash Brothers Ultimate. His real name is his first name Sora?
I don't know.
That's fucking like the kid from Disney. Anyway, I guess Japanese arcade fighting game cabinets, you usually have them back to back and you fight, so you can't see the other person. And he played a match and he just went like fucking apeshit on this person and then looked around to see who it was, feel all smug. And it's like a 10-year-old girl.
Oh no.
And he's like in like his like late teens or like early 20s or something, and had the thought of like, I may have ruined fighting games for this person forever just because I wanted to feel strong. Right. And so he has basically purposely made every Smash Bros. Game he's made a hindered competitive stuff because he doesn't want anyone to go through what he feel like he put that little girl through.
That is noble.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, it makes a lot of people livid because they don't give a fuck about the life of this Japanese person
kids.
Who's like probably 40 now. But I think that's a very interesting story. Now, I did also some research. So that's what I found.
Okay.
I think I'm confusing myself because I don't think I wrote down. Oh, no, I did write that down. Sorry, I've confused the fuck out of myself. The anime math zone disorients and confuses me. I can never remember the time. It makes me want to make math jokes.
Like a quantum realm?
Less canonical.
Ah.
Jeremy, say long division.
Long division.
Yeah, you can long divine these nuts.
Oh, God, I walked right into that.
You walked right in. Fucking idiot.
What?
So, I did some research on the psychology behind some of this to see what they were saying. And research has found that the reason why people enjoy playing video games is we like to, well, there's a lot of reasons, but one of it is we like growing abilities and learning new skills.
Mm-hmm.
So competitive things like fighting games offer that ability. You can learn the movesets, you can figure out how the characters play, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of this research that I found came from Dr. Scott Rigby. He has a PhD in clinical and social psychology, and he's the president of the research firm Immersive, and it's spelled all weird. Cool. And he works to understand, he and his group, I should say, work to understand player motivation.
Okay.
They do it for all sorts of companies. They just like hire them and be like, why, how do I get them to gamble more? I mean, buy loot box.
Loot box, yes.
And this applies to all sorts of things outside of games, such as work projects. People enjoy doing things that challenge them just in general to, it's, you know, we talked about this in the competitive episode, like figure out like, what am I good at? Compare myself to others, but also to get good at stuff.
Right.
We just like that sensation. Which is also why we like to increase the difficulty of things over time. Mm-hmm. Like you start any new hobby, you want to do harder and harder stuff. It's that same reason. But also people want a sense of control. Right?
Yeah.
Because you don't.
I do.
Have any control.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed. And we want to feel successful at a task. But if it gets too hard, or we like observe it as being outside our capabilities, or assess it as being outside of our capabilities, then the opposite outcome happens. We become turned off by the notion of it. So like the challenge needs to be within the player's reach for a game, or else they just don't want to do it. An example that Dr. Rigby gave.
Rigby.
I feel close. I'll call him Scott. Dr. Scott. They've done tests that found that when fighting video game bosses, a player will typically stop after the fourth time they fail to beat the boss.
Okay.
That's where the most people drop off at that attempt, because they have now assessed, this is just beyond my capabilities, and so I don't want to do it anymore, right? But if you get it two or three times, now it's like, oh, well, that was hard, but I did it. And that's where the accomplishment comes in. Or if you're like me, a professional video game.
All right.
You crush it the first time.
Sure.
I'm like Don Cheadle from Space Jam 2, which we haven't talked about yet, and that's nuts, but...
Next week.
Let's wait until it's at a date. Let's wait until no one cares about Space Jam 2 anymore.
And it will make them care.
And then be like, oh my god, I just saw Space Jam 2. Generally, and people, not to say people don't like difficulty, but they want it in bursts.
Okay, yeah.
They generally don't like it in like prolonged periods of time. And in fact, Dr. Rigby talks about how high difficulty games are actually a niche, and the market at large prefers easier games. Those are the ones that sell well. Those are the ones that get better received by a larger number of people. You know, you have things like Dark Souls.
I was going to ask. Like, this is me, like, Dark Souls and, like, Sekiro vibes.
Well, like I think part of that is that those games are hard, but if you look at what people are actually saying about it, that's not what most people say they like about it. Mm-hmm. Like, Dark Souls is the fact that the world's, like, weird and fucked up and obtuse, right? Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the fact that it kicks the shit out of you, because you actually do reach a point in which it kind of doesn't, right? Mm-hmm. And you might have those hard moments, but moment to moment, the game is not kicking the shit out of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it gets people have a feel like they can do it. Some people, however, are just completely fine with failure because they learn from that, and they don't find the sensation to be like displeasurable, and so they just don't care. I also found there was an interview by the Washington Post, and they interviewed a couple people on the subject, including game developers, streamers, some pro esports players. I think there's a guy named Daniel. I don't know. But when they asked them what makes a fighting game great, and the most common answers were it needs to be fast, it needs to make you feel like you're doing good, basically, and it needs to have a strong theme / story.
Okay.
So, really, none of that comes down to what we're asking today.
What to say? I was like,
that has literally nothing to do with the question, but I still wanted to bring it up because it touches on that thing about how, like, you know, it's a lot more than that.
Right.
I mean, it's an important thing, but there's a lot of stuff people think about. But also, it touches on some stuff that I thought really leads into where the conclusion to this answer is going to be. And that is, they're not concluding it yet, but something to touch on, I want to talk about more, is the idea of easy to learn, hard to master. That was something that a couple people were like, this is what I think a game should have in it.
Okay.
Also, that's where Sonic Fox was also talking about how Skullgirls is hard as shit, even though the list disagree. I don't know anything about Sonic Fox. I know some people
what?
Don't. I know people don't like him, and I can't tell if that's because he's bad or because they just don't like gay people.
Yeah, it's probably because they don't like...
That's what I assume.
It's a gay black guy who wears fursuits at fighting events. Like,
and that makes me really want him to be my favorite human. Because this motherfucker gets on stage in a fucking furry costume, takes
and
it all...
bodies people.
Yeah, fucks people, like, four-time world champion, fucks people up, and then takes it off and is like, yeah, I'm gay and black. Like...
These poor gamers.
Yeah, it's like some of all fears. Between him and Little Nas, Twitter doesn't know how to handle itself.
Oh my god, he's a Little Nas of the gaming community.
Pretty much though. Like, no, he's got his own accolades and his dedicated following.
I mean, he seems like he's good as fuck.
He is. I didn't really know of him much until high school, and same with Skullgirls, because I had a friend who played Skullgirls, and I sucked entire booty cheeks at Skullgirls. Like,
that game's hard. I had a stint in it where I got pretty good. I came back to it and I was actually kind of impressed by the fact that that game was really known for the fact that it was like very suggestive. A lot of like upskirts and like tits and stuff like that. And it still is. But they reined in a lot of it because the developers were like, we just don't feel like this is what we want our game to be anymore. And I respect the fuck out of that.
Cool.
Because they could just have just left it.
Yeah.
And been like, oh, different time. But they actually like changed the stuff. And I think that's cool. So, something I don't have an answer for this. I just think it's something we do. Isaiah, are you mad yet? Are you disappointed?
Me?
No, I said Isaiah.
Isaiah's pretty chill.
So far, everything I've said has been like, well, I guess.
Well, I disagree with the gaming community.
Well, I think, fuck gamers.
Hey, come on.
Capital G gamers.
Oh, okay. All right.
Anime profile pics.
Yeah.
So, when we're talking about what you want to make it better, I think it's like, and what I've really learned reading stuff, it's like, better how.
Right?
It's like, you broaden the appeal, it means more people are enjoying the genre, they're joining the community, that's its own thing. And whereas making it like harder might like target the existing people and enrich the experience, but not draw new people, like it fails at that. So I think, and we're going to, in the conclusion, we'll kind of get to what I think I found the answer is, because I am a video game, as I said before. I don't really have an answer to that, but it's something to be thinking as we're talking about it.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, like, there's a lot of ways you can make it better, and I think there's probably something in the middle there. So now we're going to move on to personal experience, which I think is probably going to, the three of us is probably going to very much overlap. So for me, when I think of fighting games, I think about when we were all roommates.
Mm-hmm.
And we're playing Smash Bros. Ultimate at the house.
Right.
The golden days.
The golden years. I actually had fun back then.
Right. Pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
The before times.
The before times. And I really, at that time, I'd played fighting games, particularly really just Smash.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a horny teen. I discovered the character editor in Soul Calibur 4. I was like, oh. But, you know, like I never really gotten into it.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone who doesn't know, Cordell will fucking clap your ass.
Cordell is a silent monster.
He is, particularly in Smash, but as far as I can tell, a lot of fighting games.
Yeah. He taught me a lot of evil.
Yeah, basically. and he is so fucking chill about it.
Yeah,
he will straight face.
He will embarrass you at a game and then give a thumbs up.
He will just donkey dick you down.
Basically.
And then he'll turn to you at the end of the match and be like, hey, good game, man.
Hey, nice, man. Yeah. which is almost more embarrassing. I don't know how.
You're sitting there sweating, your thumbs are hurting, your controller's a little lopsided.
Exactly.
I couldn't handle it.
He's by far the best of any of us. But through him in particular, I learned this game and I got better at it. And I started to like the challenge of it more. Because Smash Bros. Can be real clowny, and that's how I played it. And then Cordell was like, nah. And then I did learn to like it.
Yeah.
But then I hit like a soft limit of my abilities while others were still getting better, and it stopped becoming fun for me. I even told Jeremy this before. I was like, yeah, I think if like COVID hadn't happened and we still like hung out like we did, I probably would have stopped playing Smash, because like it was getting to the point where I was just like, this isn't really that fun anymore for me because I can't even compete. You know what I mean? But particularly sometimes Cordell invites his friends over to play who were even better than
So did you, Dason. You invited peeps over that are really good.
Listen. Yeah. Suddenly people who are like playing this like in tournaments. Like with strangers.
We even went to a tournament once.
Jeremy competed in a tournament.
We'll talk about that in a second.
I was his fluffer. That's all I did. but I wouldn't enjoy that either. Playing these motherfuckers who they literally try to make money off this. I didn't have a good time with that. And this wasn't Smash Ultimate, which Seffy did list as towards easy, but like if you're good, you're fucking good, man. Right. And also something I do want to touch on, because Isaiah touched on this idea of like harder, yes, but explained.
Yes.
Properly
tutorials,
taught to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's a lot of things in Smash that aren't fucking taught to you.
Not at all.
The best example is teching. Which, for anyone who doesn't know, which I expect is all of you, except for maybe Isaiah. When I say maybe, I assume Isaiah knows, is that if you hit the ground really hard in Smash, you normally bounce around, particularly the more damage you've taken. If you press the dodge or shield button at the right time, it will just cancel that momentum. The game doesn't say that almost anywhere, to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Never seen it.
You just have to know someone.
Yeah.
Either know someone or you do it to somebody and they tech
you. And you notice it. Yes, exactly. Like it either happens on accident or some, like the game has a lot of hidden depth.
Yeah.
Which is cool in premise. But in execution, it's only cool if no one else knows how to do it.
Right.
But the second you have a motherfucker who knows how to do it, it's not cool anymore, because it's like fucking Lance Armstrong. It's like, what's up with that guy's blood?
It's a weird, like, I feel like it's a weird, like, space to enter, because you have, like, aspects of it where, you know, you're trying to worry about, you know, making sure that you don't give the whole game away as a developer. Like, you don't want to give the whole crowd away. You don't want to, like, you know, oh, here are all these small exploits and, like, frame switches you can do in our game and stuff, because we don't know if that's technically a glitch or a bug that we left.
Right.
But to me, it's like, if you don't sit the player base down to kind of explain how you intend the player base to play your game, then it kind of leaves it to the wind.
I feel like it's so easy because the people who want to be casual are literally going to ignore it.
That's what I was about to say. Even if you sit down your baby gamers and be like, this is how you play the game, this is how we intend you play the game, they're gonna say fuck you, and they're gonna do all this weird shit that basically glitches the game, and they're going to mess with it anyways, because like I'm sure Basir could attest to this, because he like test plays games and stuff like that, where like they have to go around and finding every little bug and glitch or whatever. Things always slip through the cracks.
It's just exceedingly complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, even the idea that you can write in a fucked up language and make Mario do the thing at all is nuts. And then when you look at literally any other game, it's like that's fucking bonkers if this happens. And fixing that is nuts. But like, we're not even talking about that. We're just still talking about the stuff that they meant to happen.
Yeah.
There's a ton of shit in Smash Brothers that happens. Yeah. One that blew my mind is that when you're getting hit, if you push the stick in a certain direction, you'll get hit in that direction.
Yeah.
So you can move away from people faster. Like, I'm like, how the fuck did anyone?
Also, like, perfect shielding or parrying, I think it's called. Like, if you're getting hit or you're about to get hit and you hit the shield button at a certain time,
it just
like,
blocks it.
It pauses. Like, it's like a little flash thing.
Yes.
Very suspenseful. Upon first seeing it, I was just like, oh my God, am I about to die?
Yeah, it scares the shit out of you. There's just like, it's like a great game, and but it could be explained so much better.
Right.
I'm going to open up to y'all a little bit. Like, that's basically my only fighting game experience is playing Smash Brothers in a house with four stinky men, sometimes 5 to 12, depending on who invited who.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That was basically my experience, because before Smash Ultimate at the house, I was really just playing like Smash Melee with my cousins when I was little. And that was really the extent of it. I didn't really get back into fighting games until Ultimate dropped. So when Ultimate dropped, let's say like the years like 2018, 2019, we're all at the house and we play it basically like 5 nights a week.
Right.
I was pretty garbage when we started playing it, and I got better just through facing you guys. And I think the catalyst for me was when Cordell taught me how to spike.
Because you know that smile you get on your face every time you send someone off the screen.
We've talked about this before on the pod. I am a very competitive person, and I've denied it before,
which is always so comedic.
Yeah, but no, like I just get hype whenever I'm doing
I've literally
something.
Watched Jeremy's night get ruined by performing poorly. I've literally watched him become pouty.
Sometimes it's just not my night.
Competitive. I just don't like losing.
I've seen this man good. Like roid out, like win a 3v1. His veins pulsate. He grows like 2 inches.
Yeah, like... which always feels good when you've had a long day and you just came to chill. And now Jeremy's beat you, and I'm like, I just wanted to be a Pokemon.
I just get into the game.
I just feel like Pikachu for a little bit.
I just get into it, and I'm sorry.
I wanted to use Thunderbolt.
I'm so sorry, but for those of you who don't know, in Smash Brothers, you either like the purpose is basically get your enemy off the screen.
You just throw him.
Yeah, just get him off the screen, the void. And like you're on a floating stage usually, and spiking is where you get your opponent off the edge, and then you hit them downward to where they like there's no escape.
Well, the game actually makes it where at certain damage levels you just go down very quick.
Yeah. And when you smash, or sorry, when you spike, that can be seen as very disrespectful.
Yeah.
Because it's either like a confirmed kill, like your opponent's gonna die anyways.
It's like double tapping. It's like you're not giving them the option to fight back.
Even fight for their life.
But for you, it wasn't that was disrespectful. It was how you would say the now homophobic chant, "Let's go." Really loud. And at the time it was not associated with rants about AIDS.
Oh my god,
and sucking dick in the parking lot.
The baby cannot reappropriate "let's go" for homophobic purposes.
The baby has lost the bookings.
We all let him use it.
We made fun of him for using it.
Is that true?
Yes.
I can't deduce sincerity in the rap game. I really can't. There's so much goofing, and I can't tell what's real.
No, we make fun of his overuse of the ad-lib "let's go," and mainly because it was always just enthusiastic.
Yeah, like, "let's go."
Let's go. Like,
are people making fun of Megan Thee Stallion when she goes, "ah"?
Sometimes, but not like
why?
That.
That one's good.
But not in derogatory fashion.
That one's great. Yeah. I didn't accuse you of that.
But as far as my fighting game experience, I played like Def Jam, Vendetta, Fight for New York. I played Soul Calibur. I played like four different, Mortal Kombat's on the GameCube. I had the original Naruto Storm series on a PS2.
Yeah.
And then eventually when I got my Xbox, I got the rest of them. All that to say, like, each of those games had, like, very different ways of approaching the style of fighting. You had, like, arcade punchers where it practically can just be a button masher game. There is no greater depth. There is no meme. and then there are games like, you know, I would say, like, Storm 4 or, like, Soul Calibur and its later and later institutions where they would have like buffs and debuffs that you have to like learn to use, and I feel like that adds a whole other layer where it's no longer just mechanical skill or learning the combos. It's now you have to worry about these 30% attack buffs plus 30% I don't know super move damage. Whatever, like for me, like I've played a lot more arcadey fighting games like Dragon Ball, Raging Blast, or Xenoverse. I only played Fighters a few times.
I did like Xenoverse.
Xenoverse was
that
fun.
Game was so, that Xenoverse is like, I'm trying to decide. It's like unsalted popcorn where it's like, is this good? I mean, it's serviceable, but fuck me, there's so much.
Yes.
I can just really pig out on this shit and never run out. That's what that game is.
And that is very true, because you will spend a month just in your room with that thing. But I like fighting games where there is a low bar of entry. I like Soul Calibur 2 where, you know, you can button mash, but then if you go to the tutorial and look at the combos, you can 0 to 100 health someone in one combo. And it's like, that's a cool thing to strive for. Now, did I ever reach it? No.
Sure.
But it's nice to know that exists. The game doesn't hold your hand in setting up that. It's just like, oh, hey, here's what mashing all these buttons does. And it's like, okay, but like, is it like mash, tap, circle, or is it like hold, mash, you know, it's kind of like the intricacies of like what you do as input kind of gets lost. So does that add to the difficulty or does that take away from your tenacity as a gaming player?
Like, yeah, I'm trying to remember where I put Soul Calibur on that list. I remember being kind of in the middle. I'm gonna go back to it.
I've only played the older entries. I haven't played the more recent ones.
I think I used 6. Is that what I used?
I think so. Because that's the one I haven't played.
Boy, is this good listening yet? Soul Calibur 6 is like the lowest of like the moderate levels. So it's like not that hard.
Yeah.
Apparently.
So I wanted to touch on something about Smash in particular, because that's just my go-to fighting game. But in the Smash community, there is an understood like role for each character that you play. Like each character is supposed to be played a certain way. So when we went to that Smash tournament on campus, I main Captain Falcon. That's my main character that I play. And I don't play him.
We all main Captain Falcon at some point.
At some point.
Yeah. I don't play him the way you quote unquote are supposed to play him. So when we got there, like first round, I was playing against some sweaty dude. Like dude that literally you could tell he just came from his dorm. He hasn't seen sunlight in 3 days.
Jeremy doesn't mean like he's trying really hard. He's genuinely sweating.
One thing you guys got to understand, the Smash community is very, very notorious for being allergic to deodorant.
That is true, even for it in a community in which other adjacent communities are also dunked on for social faux pas. This one is particularly known for a lack of hygiene.
So I was facing him.
Just a few bad apples, you know? I can use that one.
So it was first round. I was facing him, and like we sit next to each other, we're watching the same TV, and I was being goofy. I was playing Goofy Falcon. And I was trying to get back onto the stage, but in doing so, accidentally spiked him.
Oh, I do remember that.
And he was not happy.
I do remember watching his body language change.
Yeah, and I did it twice after that.
And you also were kind of giggling. And I don't. And I'm going to be honest. That's on you. Because that ain't the coolest way to behave. in a sportsmanship kind of way. Like, imagine if every time in basketball someone missed a free throw, the other players are like, yeah, and they get in trouble.
Oh, man, I felt terrible, but at the same time, I was just like, damn, bro, that's crazy.
Yeah, I remember, like, and then, like, that guy's lost and went to the losers.
No, he, like, slammed his controller down the table. He was like, good game, and then he just left.
Yeah, he just fucked off. And then I think someone brought a CRTV.
Yeah.
and a GameCube, and they were playing Melee the quote-unquote real way.
Yeah.
And he went into that corner and stayed there for the rest of the night.
Also, like, holding his controller, like, from the top.
Yeah, he had, like, a spider clamp.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't know, man, you came here. I don't really know what you wanted.
Second round, I actually faced Basir, and I became sweaty.
Well, y'all both did. That was very tense.
It was super close.
And I was like, fuck me, I rode both of them. So I'm in trouble either way, and it doesn't really matter what happens here.
But then I, like, kind of fucked around and made my way to the semifinals.
Yeah. Jeremy did make his way to the semifinals and got fucking obliterated by a guy who it was so cordial and business for him.
Was it Noah?
It was the guy Imprez.
He goes by Imprez.
Yeah. He's a streamer.
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, okay.
But his name is Imprez. Or.
Well, we knew him when he was small time.
Yeah. I got a spike him on him, though.
You did.
I made a big deal out of it, and I regret it.
Yeah, because he was definitely being polite to you before that.
Yeah. And then he fucking wiped my ass out.
That's weird. Jeremy treats, like, mutual respect like a currency that he can he can spend whenever he wants. And then is like, hey, what gives, man?
why you being so mean?
Yeah, it's like, Jeremy, because you're an ass. Like, I don't understand.
I just don't know what I do sometimes.
All right. Well, I think it's about time to start wrapping this shit up. So, to summarize.
Yes.
At the end of the day, it really comes down to personal taste and opinions. I'm sorry. It does.
Boo.
I know we can.
Boo.
I know I did math, but like.
The gamer community disagrees.
I know.
Crucify him.
But based on what I found, it seems like games on either side of that spectrum are the quote-unquote best.
Hmm.
Right?
Hmm.
The easiest games and the hardest games.
Okay.
Are like the ones that people want. And then, you know, hard games do really well. Moderate games. I do think those just probably don't. I think those have a low ceiling, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like you want something harder, right? Or it's too hard. Like Mortal Kombat, I've gotten my ass trashed in that, and I've also felt like I didn't know what else to do to get better at that game.
Right.
And then also, like, psychologically, people are drawn to challenges, and we want to grow and expand our abilities, right? But most people are turned off by the difficulty of like some games because they view it as outside of their wheelhouse. That makes sense, right?
That's agreeable.
It's supposed to be fun. The video games are supposed to be fun. So, and then also, like, you know, like we looked at, harder games are niche, easier games perform better in the market. And my research actually confirmed that because the easier games blew it out of the fucking market. I can't fucking talk the math. It's disorienting me. The easy games like blew it out of the whatever the fuck. You get what I'm fucking saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm mad.
I think it's like a fable. Like, you know, you would try to appeal to everybody, you appeal to no one. So I think that's why like the moderate kind of feel just kind of loses the bottom there. You know?
Yeah. It seems like, I don't know that for sure because like I looked at 18 games, but like
okay, well yeah.
That's my theory. That's my hypothesis. So in conclusion, I think the best option for fighting games would be that easy to learn and hard to master. You make that bar low enough that people, like most people, feel like they can get a stab at this and have a good time with people who are in that same ballpark, right? They don't feel like this is too complicated for them. But you have that freedom mechanically to get higher in level and to feel like you're getting better and better challenges to, like, you know, just like expand your abilities. You have that broad range, so it's like low floor, high ceiling.
Okay.
Which I think in most games in general is probably what you're looking for. Because that room to do what you please is something people are going to be looking for, right? So, Isaiah, to answer your question, I do think the best option would be to have, basically, you know, yes, like, should we have easier games to appeal or harder games to tutorials? I think the answer is yes. Like, you should just do both of those if can. I don't know if some things can't, but if having these easier games that people can play and pick up and feel casual about, but also have hard stuff that's properly explained, then that's like what you're kind of looking for, and then you're golden. I think for just like a consumer product that's not meant to be played hyper competitively, I think Smash Ultimate's kind of like the gold standard for that right now.
Yeah, and
I'll get to you in a second.
No, you're good.
If they explain shit like teching and like spiking and all that shit,
right.
If that stuff was properly elaborated on in a tutorial way, I think it would be the gold standard, but I think it's just shy of that mark.
Because I think they're like half-chubbing it, in my opinion.
No,
because,
they are.
Because like they'll have, whenever they come up with new characters, they'll have full like half-hour like, hey, here is everything you need to know about how this new character is going to interact.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But they haven't done that for like the base game and the base game mechanics.
Well, even then, like you could have a tutorial mode where it's like, okay, we're going to have a computer throw you around and you're going to try to tech. And the game's going to tell you if you did it or not. You know, like, that's a lot of fighting games have that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you try this combo and it tells you if you did it or not. You know what I mean? It doesn't.
Yeah.
And even, like, the how-to in-game is so fucking lax. It's literally, like, here's what each button does for this character. Here's a list of tips. Some of those are extensive. Some of them are not. As opposed to Sora Sakurai doing a small prayer to the girl that he beat when he was 12.
Oh my god.
And then going on for 45 minutes about how to fucking play this character. They're so wildly different. Like, man, that should be in the game. You know what I mean? Like, at this point, it really should be.
It really should.
Yeah. So there you go, Isaiah. Thanks for sending in a voice message and making me look like an asshole for telling Jeremy it would never, ever happen.
Yeah, eat shit.
No,
for
real. Hold on, Jeremy. I'm talking to Isaiah. No, for real, though. Thank you. And thanks for putting up with Jeremy.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Because I'm sure, because just listening to him talk about Band is insufferable. I can't imagine being in it.
Hey, bro. It was college, but it was different.
Love you, Isaiah.
All right, so there we go. I did it.
Yeah, John.
Yay, me. Yeah. Time for my post-pod snack as a good reward. Good
boy. Bring in the jerky.
Yay.
All right, well, thank you, Dason, Lawman Johnson.
Lawman Johnson, here to mow the law.
Yeah, thank you for coming on this week. Thank you, John, for that excellent case.
You're goddamn welcome.
If you have a question for the boys, you can send it to us at boysonthecase@gmail.com, or you can follow Isaiah's example and go to our splash page at anchor.fm/boysonthecase, and there's a little button that right there that says message, and you can press it and send your voice in. Mm-hmm. You'll hear it on the pod just like you heard Isaiah's today.
And both of those are in the description.
Yes.
You know what's not in the description?
What's not in the
description? An attribution to the kissable Jason Faust.
Why not?
Because it seemed like overkill.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah.
Thought about it. I don't know.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
Poor, poor soul.
All right, well, come back next week and see which D's nuts joke I lay out next. I'm on the fucking warpath, motherfuckers.
Somebody stop him.
Somebody
you can't
stop
keep getting away with this.
See y'all next week.
D's.
No.